I'm waiting.
Huh?
I'm waiting.
No, that was well done. That one was good.
Our next case is Aptiv Services versus Microchip Technology, 2019, 1537, 38, 1601, and 1603. Mr. McEwen.
Thank you, Honor. Good morning. May it please the court. Furukawa uses the terminology no switching to describe no re-enumeration. Distracted by this difference in terminology, the PTAB misconstrued the technical disclosure of Furukawa, compounding its error by speculating that Furukawa operated exactly opposite its technical description and exactly opposite the
USB
standard.
This is a substantial evidence argument you're making, right?
As to the 102 grounds, that's correct.
Okay.
And the reason that there's no substantial evidence in this case is because of the fundamental misstatements of the board, and for the court to reverse on Furukawa, we only need focus really on the appendix at 37, which is the explanation of the board as to why it found no anticipation in Furukawa. And it starts out with this argument that, well, because the words enumeration and re-enumeration are not in Furukawa, we can then make some conclusions, or we can go on and speculate as to what Furukawa may be doing. So even though Furukawa said no switching, maybe Furukawa meant some switching. And then the board goes on to say that, well, perhaps what Furukawa was doing was it was just avoiding the loading and unloading of drivers. And so that would be an avoidance of some switching, and perhaps it was doing re-enumeration anyway. But we know that's incorrect. And we know it's incorrect because Furukawa explains that that's not how the standard works. The USB standard itself explains that that's not how it works. Both experts explain that that's not how it works. And in the supplemental briefing we filed on Furukawa, the attorney arguments bolded the portions of Furukawa that explains that's not how it works. And I'm talking specifically about Furukawa paragraph 3, which states, the device driver for the peripheral device must be loaded, unloaded each time the switching is performed.
So, I'm just going to tell you exactly where I am on your case. I mean, you're going to argue all day long. And the worst part for me is I agree with you. De novo, I used to be an electrical engineer. This technology is old enough, I actually understand it. It's not that complicated for me. I agree with you. I'd have decided that Furukawa discloses exactly what you say it does. But under a substantial evidence standard, I can't reverse the board. And the reason I can't is they speculated that Furukawa said it may be the controlling circuit C, which comprises of repeater hub, controller 14, and CPU uses the storage address from the FIFO to perform a re-enumeration or reconfiguration on the device destination because a prior connected host used a different address and different configuration. I don't think that's what it does. But they speculated that it might do that, that that might be what's going on, and that might not meet the claim limitation then of no re-enumeration, no reconfiguration. I don't think that's what it's disclosing, but it might. And under the substantial evidence standard, I can't second guess them. It's not my job as an appellate judge to sit here as some expert in technology from the time that I was an electrical engineer. And so I just can't do that. So they gave a reason. I don't think it's exactly right in my reading, but they gave a reason that's not unreasonable, it's not totally crazy. And under the substantial evidence standard, I have trouble reversing. So you can see, I'm not usually this open about where I'm coming from, but this is where I am. If I were doing this as a matter of first impression, you have my vote 100 times over. But you don't on the substantial evidence standard. And so that's, I just want you to know exactly why I am where I am and where I am.
I appreciate the candid comments, Your Honor. But let me explain why you can reverse this case, because it's unreasonable. The statement that they're making is unreasonable because Furukawa tells you every time you switch, you're doing unloading of drivers. And what the board has said is, well, you might avoid the loading and unloading of drivers and still do switching. They're connected.
Yeah, the switching could be on the back end, right? You got, I'm not gonna try to get as deep into the technology with you, but you got really three layers and a buffer in between, which is storing the memory of like IP addresses, for example. It could be the switching on the back end that could be happening that's not necessarily precluded. It could be Furukawa just talking about the switching on the top end. I don't know. I don't think I would have read it that way, but the PTO raised it as a possible thing that might be happening in this reference. I can't say there's no substantial evidence for that.
Well, which gets to sort of the second issue and the problem with this. It can't work that way because, as the petitioner's expert said, in which the board just completely dispatched altogether, is if you do it the way that the board contemplates, in other words, you're still doing enumeration on the back end, as you said, Judge Moore, then what's the point in Furukawa having buffers? You don't need those buffers. You're basically saying Furukawa may do it just like the prior art did it. In other words, you're doing enumeration for each connection. There's no way you can take that premise out of the decision and make any sense at all of Furukawa.
Well, as I understand what the board is trying to do here, is they're trying to read the full context of Furukawa. And, you know, I think there's another way the board could have read it, but the way it chose to read it was to say that Furukawa seems very focused on eliminating the loading and unloading of drivers. And that's one piece of the switching pie. But then when it goes on in that same paragraph to say, so, you know, we want to eliminate switching, in context, I think the board is trying to say that it's the Furukawa is talking about the loading and unloading of drivers part of the switching. And because Furukawa doesn't go further and talk about the need or the desire to avoid reenumeration, the board was left at a little bit of a loss to decide whether Furukawa necessarily is also avoiding any form of reenumeration when it does talk about sending the addresses along. And so therefore, maybe there's a possibility that, you know, when you're doing these different addresses, there is some reconfiguration going on at the printer.
But it applies that speculation divorced from what Furukawa tells you what it does with that address and divorced from what the petitioner's expert said that address is for. So if I'm talking to a printer, I'm addressing it. So I want to talk to printer A. Both hosts are trying to talk to printer A. The controller looks at the address.
With different addresses, right?
The addresses are assigned. So there's... If there's no way you can simultaneously access the same printer if you have different addresses. And that's the problem here. You're disconnecting the way that the standard works. And just to put a finer point on it, if I want to talk to a printer, I need to have the address of the printer, and the printer comes back and the printer tells me, I'm an HP 2000 printer, here's my driver, load it. I can't get to that conversation if I'm not already enumerated and talking to the printer. So that's what I'm saying here, and that's what the petitioner's expert said. Compliant USB operation would require that enumeration would be done by the first host to process the detach, so there's a disconnection. This would cause the device drivers to unload, and then on the next connection or the next enumeration, when you start talking to the printer again.
But that's your expert filling in a lot of stuff that's not in Furukawa, and the patent office is free to not believe him, not follow it, and you know, you can't ask us on a substantial evidence standard to overturn it. I mean, look, if I had been the fact finder, I'd have gone the other way on this, but I'm not sure what they did is wrong, given this is an IPR and you had the burden of proof by a preponderance of the evidence. And they're saying there's something missing from this reference. We're just not sure. And if they're just not sure, you haven't gotten the 51%. And that's really what they said. What they didn't say is Furukawa definitely doesn't disclose this. They said it's just not clear that it really discloses all of what would be involved in re-enumeration. And I think that's exactly what they're supposed to do in IPRs.
Well, and I understand what they said, Your Honor, but that can't be reconciled with what Furukawa actually states. At paragraph 3, the device driver for the peripheral device must be loaded, unloaded each time the switching is performed. And the board is saying, well, maybe you can still have this benefit and still do the switching. That's not what Furukawa describes. And then it goes on to, there's an additional aspect of talking about, and this is in paragraph 5, moreover, there is no overhead and having to load and unload device drivers. So loading and unloading device drivers is one aspect of it, and then you have the switching overhead, which is the enumeration that triggers that process. There's nothing in this record where you can reasonably read what the board said and say, well, yes, it's reasonable to disconnect these two processes. The patent owner's expert said the same thing. Enumeration and configuration happen at the same time. Our expert says it. The USB standard says it. And Furukawa says it. So that's why it's unreasonable. And that's why substantial evidence is not met here on Furukawa. And then furthermore, just in on top of the record, that is just there's unchallenged testimony from our expert. He was the chair of the USB standard. He wrote the standard and hand-drew the figures. He provided 20-plus paragraphs of explanation. The board simply said there's no facts or data to support it. He was providing testimony on the scope and content of the prior art. He went through the paragraphs of Furukawa. He compared them to the patents at issue here. He referenced the standard. He described how Furukawa works. That can't be ignored. That was substantial evidence that the board nowhere discusses. And then on top of that, you look at this from what the patent owner told the patent office, which is our disclosure doesn't disclose re-enumeration or the lack of re-enumeration, but it describes simultaneous access, which is the board also identified in Furukawa, and that's good enough. So why is that good enough for the patent owner, but yet they can basically try to have it both ways and attack the prior art for having the same exact disclosure as they have? So for those reasons, I think the court can reverse on substantial evidence here because the premise here is just factually incorrect, and that's directly contradicted by the Furukawa reference, which the board was interpreting, and all of the evidence in this case, again, including the patent owner's expert, JA 3137, line 12, configuration and enumeration are part and parcel of the same process. Let me move on to the Dickens issue, unless there are any further questions on Furukawa. As to Dickens, there are a number of dependent claims in this portion of the appeal that were, we'll say, left uncovered by the Dickens grounds in the board's decision. Specifically, there are some claims that discuss coupled between. The board interpreted between as a structural limitation. This is despite the fact that the figures are described as logic diagrams. The patent owner's expert made clear that these are not circuits. Nevertheless, the board applied this narrow definition to coupled between to require some kind of physical or spatial relationship in a physical sense. There is no basis to get there, given that all of the diagrams in this patent are logical diagrams. As to the additional dependent claims, which recite ACR information, the base claims say you do not do re-enumeration, which is you don't need to go get a new address. And so another way of saying that is, well, if I don't get the new address, I must be keeping the old address and the configuration that was loaded. That's the ACR information. If you're doing one, especially keeping the address, what we've said in the petition and in the claim charts is that is maintaining that data by definition because you're not going out and getting new data and new address.
You're well into your rebuttal time. You can continue or save it.
I will just finish up quickly with the shared USB device block and claims 23 and 25 of the 243 patent. The board made clear that they interpreted shared USB device block as a function, yet they interpreted it as a physical printer, and we believe that is reversible error. I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Banner.
Thank Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Brian Banner on behalf of Microchip Technology. It's no surprise today that my colleague does not mention the main issue in this, one of the main issues in this appeal, and that is that Aptiv failed to challenge the board's finding that the Furukawa reference does not disclose concurrent USB connections. This was not raised in their brief. It was absolutely found by the board at Appendix 111 when the board said the petition does not sufficiently disclose concurrent connections between multiple USB hosts and the same shared USB.
Is that where the board was describing its institution decision?
The board, if you read that in the paragraph as a whole, the board discussed its institution decision. It also
changed. I had a little bit of a hard time of finding a statement in the board decision or either of the board decisions that said we, you know, reiterate what we said before. Instead, it seemed to migrate over to this no re-enumeration analysis and conclusion.
The way the board handled this, Your Honor, is it discussed the issue that was first at issue in the institution decision. And it said, we found that there are no concurrent USB connections. It then went on to address the new arguments that were made in the post-SAS briefing, which had to do with the reconfiguration.
Well, I guess I'm trying to say, isn't there a way to read the final written decision as observing what it had said in the institution decision, but then not reaching it again, because instead it wanted to focus on no re-enumeration.
I don't believe there's a way to read that, especially when you go to appendix at 118, and this is also at the appendix at 38, I believe. This is when the court is discussing the dependent claims and whether the dependent claims are rendered invalid in light of Furukawa. And the board says, and I quote, because we are not persuaded that Furukawa discloses expressly or inherently concurrent connections by multiple hosts to one peripheral device as recited in each independent base claim from which these dependent claims depend, we are also not persuaded by a preponderance of the evidence that Furukawa discloses every limitation of these claims. That is unequivocal. The board absolutely confirmed what it found in its institution decision, that there are no concurrent USB connections disclosed in the Furukawa reference.
Where did it say that in the Claim 1 analysis?
In the Claim 1 analysis,
where it says, you know, we remain unpersuaded by, you know, the petitioner's arguments as to this claim limitation, as we already stated in our institution decision.
It doesn't specifically say
we
remain
unpersuaded. It says, you know, we agree with petitioner that Furukawa is directed to solving the same problem, and then goes on and says, you know, we're not persuaded by the argument that Furukawa necessarily discloses performing these operations without re-enumeration.
Yes, I agree, Your
Period.
Honor.
And then it moves on.
I agree that portion of the...
Why don't we focus on that part?
Okay, so let's focus on that part. The board, in discussing, and this is on Appendix 110 to 111, the board first started out talking about, based on the preliminary record at the time of our institution decision, said we found there were no concurrent USB connections. Then it changes tense, and the sentence
said... Furukawa says no switching, right? Eliminating switching.
That's correct, Your Honor. But switching I don't believe that switching has anything to do with these connections. Because what Furukawa says is that there is a one-to-one connection set up between the host and a peripheral.
Is there something about switching as a term of art where you can untangle different operations such that switching cannot include re-enumeration, reconfiguration?
There is no evidence of record that switching includes reconfiguration or re-enumeration.
Well, what about your expert's deposition testimony? He's talked about that, right?
He talks about the fact that, and we don't dispute that the loading and unloading of drivers, that's what Furukawa discusses as a switching operation. The loading and unloading of drivers.
Well, I mean, your expert at 83137, which the other side cited, right, says, you know, when you're doing switching, you're doing exchanging enumeration and configuration. That's what your expert said. So it's something in the record. Are you not familiar with 83137?
Yes, I'm familiar with that, but he wasn't talking about the switching operations of Furukawa.
Right, but he was talking about basic switching in this USB art.
Well, the patent certainly discloses that there were prior art switches that were known in the industry that were known, and those included switching operations. But those switches, like Furukawa, only connected one peripheral to one one host at a time. It's a one-to-one connection. And so, yes, there are switching. Switching is part of that, but that is not what the patent is claiming. The patent is claiming a new way of doing this where it doesn't have to do that kind of switching, where it doesn't have to go from a one-to-one connection to another one-to-one connection.
You're talking about the patent in this case.
Correct.
Right.
Right. And so yes, switching is part of the prior art, and that's exactly what Furukawa is doing.
So then when people in the prior art discuss how the way their system works, there's no switching, why wouldn't that necessarily include, as your expert acknowledged, okay, so then you're not doing enumeration and reconfiguration?
Because what the patentee explained was that when there was a disconnection that occurs, that is when re-enumeration and reconfiguration is required again. And so Furukawa talks about releasing and setting up connections each time one of the hosts wants to access a peripheral. And that's the distinction that's being made here, is that when a connection is released, that is what our expert is talking about. That requires re-enumeration again. But what the patent is talking about is it's talking about alternating access between each host getting access to the peripheral without having to have that connection release so that re-enumeration happens. And the way it achieves that goal is it provides a multi-host USB device that has two host interfaces. It has endpoint buffers and a port for each of the hosts. And so it doesn't need to have that switching like Furukawa has, which Furukawa has a single off-the-shelf printer as its peripheral, which only has one connection. And so that is why Furukawa has to establish connections for a host that wants to access Furukawa, and then release that connection once that host is done using the printer. And that is that distinction that was made. That's the distinction the board made when the board found that there were no concurrent connections disclosed in Furukawa, and Aptiv completely missed the point and did not challenge that fact-finding on appeal. And for that reason alone, this court should affirm the board's finding below that Furukawa does not anticipate any of the claims. Now, moving on to the issue of the re-enumeration.
And do you think that's true even though Furukawa expressly says that the problem in the prior art was that you cannot use the peripheral device simultaneously, and thus you must have a switching circuit, and then they go on to say the present invention was created to overcome that problem? You think that still the board decision about concurrent use is correct in light of Furukawa's statement of simultaneous?
Yes, I do. And the board justified it and relied on, and this is in the institution decision, but the board relied on the understanding that the Furukawa's simultaneous access meant that one host could access one peripheral at the same time that another host could access a different peripheral. And so, again, that is the scenario that the board believed that Furukawa was disclosing, and that is, again, the one-to-one connection between a host and a peripheral that, when released, would require another enumeration or configuration of the peripheral device.
So when they say the object of the present invention is to provide a USB hub that enables a peripheral device to be shared by a plurality of computers and which requires no switching operation, so that you think that is a plurality of host computers sharing one printer, but it still has to be plugged and unplugged from each one individually? They can't concurrently use it?
So what that's explaining is the switching operation, which is the unloading and loading of device drivers on the hosts. So from the host perspective, the host does not have to perform that type of switching because it believes it's connected the entire time. But as you mentioned in when my colleague was arguing, that there are three different layers to Furukawa, and the enumeration and the switching is actually occurring in the middle layer, the layer that's controlling the access through the controlling circuit C that the host gets the peripheral device. Moving on to the issue of the reconfiguration, the board's finding here is supported by substantial evidence. Aptiv has not submitted any evidence or made any arguments that should unseat the board's finding that...
I'm sorry, you're talking about a new issue, but you said the word reconfiguration, which I thought was the issue we'd been talking about for the past 10 minutes.
Well, there are two different claim limitations that the board found missing. The first was the concurrent USB connections. The second is the lack of eliminating reconfiguration or re-enumeration.
Right, and I thought that second one is the one that I've been talking about with you already.
Okay. I was under the impression that we were discussing the concurrent connections and the board's finding that there were no concurrent connections. That finding alone...
Right, I know. That's the one you want to talk about.
Okay.
I understand. Okay, go on.
Okay. The board concluded that the only switching operation overhead expressly eliminated in Furukawa is the overhead of loading and unloading device drivers on the host each time a switch is made between two hosts sharing a USB device. That's the appendix 116. This is important to know because enumeration involves a number of steps. And as a petitioner argued and conceded at appendix 224 and 225, enumeration includes things such as identifying and assigning addresses to devices on the bus, the hosts, loading and unloading device drivers, configuring devices, which includes getting information from the device and also sending instructions to device to set their device configuration. So there are lots of processes that are involved in enumeration. Furukawa is aimed at eliminating one of those processes, the loading and unloading of devices. It doesn't concern itself with configuration or re-enumeration of the downstream device itself. It's limited to the hosts unloading and loading the drivers. And that's the basis on which the board found that Furukawa does not disclose eliminating reconfiguration. It doesn't say it eliminates reconfiguration. All it says is that it eliminates the loading and unloading of device drivers. So the board's finding is supported by substantial evidence.
Did your patent say it eliminates re-enumeration?
Does our patent say that? Yes, it does.
Yeah. It's in the spec?
It's in the spec. It's in each of the claims.
And what do you define re-enumeration as in that spec?
The specification is not specific as to what the re-enumeration
is. No, it links it to switching.
What?
It links re-enumeration to switching. Doesn't it link reconfiguration or re-enumeration to the switching concept?
It's what it claims and what it describes is that the device does not have to be reconfigured when each host is alternating access. So the claims are about the device. And so when it's talking about the re-enumeration and the reconfiguration, it's talking about the types of operations that occur on the device side, such as...
I had trouble reading your spec and seeing how it somehow offered this much more detailed process of what amounted to re-enumeration or reconfiguration than what Furukawa discloses.
Certainly. And the difference between Furukawa and the specification is the fact that the specification and the claims are directed to the device. And it's the device eliminating having to reconfigure, such as getting the configuration information from the device, setting that information on the device, and setting addresses, etc., on the device so that communication can happen. Those are different parts of re-enumeration that are specific to the device.
And you don't think it would have even been reasonable for the board to have read Furukawa as eliminating reconfiguration in light of what it says?
I think that that Furukawa is silent as to the actual how it works with respect to the claims at issue here. And I think that the board weighed the evidence.
When it says no switching operation, it says simultaneous use and all of that. You don't think the board could have even read it the way your opponent suggests it could have been read? His expert certainly did.
But could have is not the benchmark for an anticipation analysis. Unless we're talking about an inherent anticipation analysis, which was waived below.
Well,
and even under inherency.
Could have certainly is. I'm talking about how could the board have read this? When this patent says simultaneous use, no switching operation, I read that as meaning no reconfiguration. So you think that is an unreasonable reading of this in light of the whole spec?
I think it's an unreasonable reading of it. The board explained what the simultaneous access meant, and that meant one host is accessing one peripheral while another host...
You should have thought that through. You don't want to tell a judge her view is unreasonable, because all you needed to say in response to me, which you're somehow missing, is that's not your standard of review, Your Honor. Your standard of review is, do you think there's no way the board could have read it that way? Not could you have read it different, not could a reasonable fact finder have read it different. You've already heard me say several times over, I would have read it different. So you didn't have to go so far as to tell me my position was unreasonable. You could have stopped short of that and said, even if you're right, Your Honor, you still have to defer to the board. Just as a kind of hint for the future. I understand you're zealously defending your client. I don't hold it against you.
Unless you believe the court's views is unreasonable.
I guess I didn't think of that possibility.
I don't pretend to know the court's view at this point in time, and so I would not know whether or not it's unreasonable.
Were you not listening?
Except for in that instance, I do know that view, which I would agree with.
Your time has expired. We would give you 2 minutes for rebuttal on the cross appeal, which is all you're entitled to, if Mr. McEwen addresses it such that there's something for you to respond to. If not, then your time has expired.
Okay. So do I have one more minute, Your Honor?
No, your time has expired.
Okay, thank you.
You're a minute over, not a minute under.
Thank you.
Mr. McEwen.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just to get quickly to the waiver issue, this is the appendix at 35. The board credited the petitioner's reply at page 6, which, interestingly enough, also cites to paragraph 3 of Furukawa, which I spent most of my time on in the opening, and which gets us back to this question of substantial evidence and how can it be reasonable for the board to construe Furukawa, which says that it does no switching, to in fact do some switching.
Well, where did you dispute the concurrent connections? Is that a separate claim limitation?
The concurrent.
If I read the board's opinion as having reaffirmed what they said in the institution decision on concurrent connections, did you really address that?
Well, yes, and we did so for the same reason that the patent owner represented to the patent office, because if you show a lack of remuneration, you're showing shared connections and vice versa, which is what you raised earlier.
So you think it was embedded within your argument on no reconfiguration, even though you didn't sort of separately call it out?
Yes, because and you can look at the record here. There, no one argued that there was a difference in meaning between enumeration and reconfiguration, even though the claims say A and B. And the reason that there's no argument there is because, as I've been saying all along, they're linked. If you do one, you do the other. So there's no point in arguing, and there's certainly no point in highlighting that, well, configuration means something very specific, and it's kicked off by enumeration, because then the house of cards unravels that's not the way Furukawa works, and Furukawa specifically states that you can't possibly load and unload drivers unless you're also doing the switching, which the board is speculating is somehow done. There's no further questions.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.